This is DJ Boom with a special segment for Radio Autonomía. We have Leah Jo Cardine, member of SWAP, Sex Workers Outreach Project from Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Leah Jo. Thanks for joining us on Radio Autonomía.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm happy to be on.
I wanted to start by asking you about your work with the Phoenix chapter of the Sex Workers Outreach Project. Could you begin by telling us about the Phoenix SWAP chapter and maybe some of the projects that your work is currently working toward?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Phoenix branch of the Sex Worker Outreach Project started a little bit over a year ago, and we came together. It's a group of sex workers and allies that really came together wanting to focus on local issues of sex worker rights in Phoenix and Arizona. We came together because there is a project, a program that is a collaboration between the Arizona State University School of Social Work and the Phoenix Police Department called Project Rose. And it's a prostitution diversion program that ultimately serves to further criminalize and stigmatize sex workers in the guise of trying to save sex workers. So we came together to organize against that project and to raise awareness in our local community around the harms of diversion programs like Project Rose, and trying to bring up some of the issues of making a distinction between sex workers and victims of human trafficking, which kind of those things get convoluted when there's not enough awareness and education around those issues. So that's kind of how we emerged. And Jacqueline, who you'll speak with later, formed the organization, and I was lucky to connect to them pretty soon afterwards. And our first action was actually a protest out front of the church, Catholic Charities, that houses the Project Rose diversion program.
Wow, that sounds amazing, especially the part about being in front of the church. So I wanted to ask you, you talked a little bit about the harms of this Project Rose, and ask you about what the material effects of those harms look like. How do they harm sex workers in Arizona?
Okay, so Project Rose, again, as I mentioned, is a collaboration with the university and the Phoenix Police Department. So the way that it operates is the Phoenix Police Department actually kind of conduct raids, sending out a lot of undercovers in these broad sweeps that last 2 to 3 days, several times a year. And so what happens is it's primarily sex workers who advertise on the internet, and some street-based workers will be picked up through various forms by undercovers. And without knowing their rights, without any legal due process, they are essentially often handcuffed and brought to the church, Catholic Charities, and they have these charges hanging above their heads. So they're essentially, the options are consent to going through this diversion program, or, you know, face criminal charges. However, up until recently, there are many criteria that one would have to qualify for in order to even be able to do the diversion program. So people were not eligible if they had any prior felonies, if they had completed a diversion program in the past, if they had drugs on them, etc. And so those people were automatically kind of siphoned into the criminal justice system. And then for those who did the diversion program, many of them aren't able to complete it. It's very punishing. It's very punitive, morally punitive, and demanding. And so many people wouldn't even be able to finish the program. And so basically, in the end, the statistics show approximately 70% of the people who Project Rose picked up ended up in some form being criminalized, whether they're taking a plea or serving time, depending on if they'd had priors, et cetera. So the completion rate is really low, and the success rate even lower than that as far as people who return to the trade. So over 300 people have been picked up in Phoenix over the last few years through these raids. So it has a really significant material effect on the lives of sex workers and also people who are targeted as sex workers on the street who may or may not even be participating in sex work at the time or at all. part of the way that Project Rose is able to function is there's a statute in Arizona, and it's called Manifestation with Intent to Prostitute. And this is a very vague anti-prostitution statute that essentially criminalizes people for doing things like waving at cars or talking to passerbys on the sidewalk or asking if someone is a police officer. All of these things can implicate you in the intent to prostitute. And so because of that very vague statute, people engaging in sex work and people not even engaging in sex work have been targeted through Project Rose. So those are some of the material outcomes, I think, of that diversion program.
And you also, or we had mentioned in an earlier conversation between us, some of the commonalities between the anti-immigrant movement in Arizona and its its similarities to the anti-prostitution policies. I wanted to know if you could talk to us a little bit about what those intersections are.
Yeah. So as many people are familiar, Arizona is a breeding ground for anti-immigrant sentiment and policy and practices. And there's also an incredible migrant or immigrant-led resistance happening there that's inspiring in immigrant communities around the country to take action. So I think the same moral kind of that is fueling the anti-immigrant movement and producing laws like SB 1070 and kind of this dragnet of detention and deportation across the country. It's that same moral panic, I think, that really fuels the anti-trafficking legislation. And so I think there's a lot of commonalities as far as the conservative right wing's like fear and panic about women having the right to work in whatever way that means, including within the sex trade, is connected to this panic around immigrant communities and like the browning of America. There's also people who exist within those intersections, immigrant sex workers who are disproportionately targeted because if someone who doesn't have documents or citizenship or legal status in this country, if they are engaging in the sex trade, their biggest vulnerability is going to be their documentation status, and that puts them at jeopardy for even a misdemeanor charge could result in them being torn from their community and deported. And so I think the call for decriminalization of the sex worker movement, sex worker rights movement, could be seen as connected, I think, to the migrant justice movements and their call to end deportation. I think both of those strategies are about acknowledging the ways that immigrants, migrants, and sex workers are humans, and they are often workers, and they should be seen as people with rights. And so I think calling for an end to all of these policies that criminalize people and cause harm and violate their rights is, you know, could be seen as connected and would be stronger to be connected. So I think there's both similarities in the anti-trafficking movement and the anti-immigrant movement, as well as the resistant movements that are trying to create an alternative vision outside of those oppressive forces.
Yeah, they also seem really related in that they use some of the similar terms in their strategies to target sex workers and undocumented immigrant folks, such as raids, right? And also the profiling that happens with people who might or might not be undocumented based on their clothes or how they may look or the darkness of their skin. So those two things seem to really overlap in their strategies to attack both marginalized communities or some people who are intersected who are undocumented immigrants who do sex work. That's so scary. So I wanted to ask also, it sounds like SWAP Phoenix is also leading a campaign not only to defund Project Rose, but also to support Monica Jones campaign. Can you talk to us a little bit about what's going on with that campaign?
Absolutely. So Monica Jones is a Phoenix-based trans activist and sex worker rights advocate, and also a school at ASU who just gained entrance into the ASU School of Social Work, ironically, where Project Rose was initiated. And she spoke at the first protest that we had against Project Rose last spring. She spoke out as a sex worker advocate and as someone who has been targeted routinely on prostitution charges. And it was actually the next night she was profiled and picked up within the Project Rose raid that we were protesting and was essentially charged with this big anti-prostitution statute with charges of manifestation with intent to prostitute. And so we have been, Monica is a very outspoken, fierce activist, and we've been really following her lead and supporting her in her call to challenge the manifestation statute and to demand rights for sex workers and for trans people. So she, as a Black transgender activist, has been targeted numerous times and profiled as a sex worker just for walking in her neighborhood, walking to get groceries, saying hi to people on the street, walking to the bar. She's been profiled four more times since her original arrest. And so we really see this as emblematic as a larger systemic practice of police violence and police targeting of transgender women, trans individuals, people of color, immigrants, et cetera. And so we're supporting her in both fighting her case, which she had an initial trial last Friday, and her defense actually filed a motion to constitutionally challenge the manifestation with intent to prostitute statute. And so because of that, the prosecutor is kind of, I think, floundering a bit, and they asked for an extension of a few weeks. So her trial is actually going to be on April 11th, and Monica is a really rare and exciting story because she often, sex workers or people profiled as sex workers are coerced into taking plea deals for prostitution charges. And Monica is pleading not guilty, which is going to set, I think, has the potential to set a really exciting precedent and make big movements for sex worker rights. So that's a little bit about her case.
Wow, that's devastating and exciting at once. I'm really... And for the Support Monica Jones campaign, how can our listeners or the people nationally or internationally get involved with trying to support her or this campaign for her?
So there's a few ways. On our website, which is swapphoenix.org, there's a pledge to support Monica. So we can get people's contact information if you go to that website and sign up. And we can keep you in the loop on upcoming events and ways to support. Because we can also be followed on Twitter at Swap Phoenix, so it's SWOPPHX, for updates as we move forward with our strategy for winning her case. And then lastly, we are asking people sign a petition that we generated on change.org to pressure the city prosecutor to actually demand that her charges are dropped. We're going to keep up that pressure, continue gaining momentum with that, and simultaneously we're constitutionally challenging the manifestation statute. There's a lot of ways to support. We really need support from people around the country. We're really grateful for all of the coverage in the media that Monica has been getting recently, really raising awareness around her case. So those are a few things that people can do and ways to stay informed as we continue to come up with next steps in the case. I do know that because of this, like because of all of our organizing, Project Rose, like they changed their qualifications for the diversion program. They haven't done the raid that they were supposed to do this month. Like they are really quiet. They won't do interviews. A lot of people have tried to interview them that are doing media around this, and they've stopped doing interviews. So they're feeling the pressure from this. And I'm not sure if I think probably they really regret Monica being picked up in it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do, really especially after they saw a national campaign. Are you guys by any chance, it would just be so powerful to see all the different campaigns right now that are national campaigns that are working toward releasing Black women in prison, like the campaign to free Marissa Alexander. Do you see any overlaps between Monica Jones and Marissa Alexander?
Yes, absolutely. And I think we haven't actually reached out to the Marissa Alexander support people directly, but we have been in contact with the 360 support team, and they've actually been incredibly helpful in us, like, coming up with our campaign strategy and how to do this, because none of us have that much experience with this sort of thing. And so recently I was actually on an email chain with one of the main Port Marissa Alexander people and support, like, Free CC campaign people, and then another person who's trying to get her Black sister loved one out of prison, to try and, like, brainstorm and support each other about these kinds of campaigns. So I feel like those connections are being made and coming together in ways that are so exciting. And we're, Swap Phoenix is really, there's only like a few of us that are active, and it's all volunteer. And so it's really like, we're, you know, I'm in physician assistant program. I'm in like really intense medical training. So we're all pretty tasked. So it's like everything has to do with how much capacity we have to make it happen. But yeah, those connections are really awesome.
Is there also some ways in which your Swap Phoenix in particular is supporting people who might be profiled as undocumented or as sex workers just in daily life? As you were talking about, Monica Jones, you know, on a daily was being profiled as she waved to people on the street, or, you know, just walking down the street in general. Are there tips or certain things that people should know, their rights, or other things that your organization maybe puts out to the community to protect themselves?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we are in the process of continuing to do outreach with workers in whatever way we can in Phoenix to try and put the word out there about Know Your Rights. So we have material, we have Know Your Rights information that goes out, that we've done some distribution, particularly around when the Project Rose raids are going to happen. There's also an incredible organization in Phoenix called Puente that is a justice organization organizing most impacted and immigrant communities to end deportations in Phoenix. And so we don't have formal relationships with Puente, but informally are able to refer people to like Spanish-speaking community organizing that is extensively about Know Your Rights trainings and community defense. And so it feels really powerful that we have a local ally in Phoenix that we can definitely send people to for more support in those ways, in addition to the outreach that we are trying to do ongoingly.
Great. I think those are all the questions that I have on my end. Is there anything that you'd like to plug or say to the community at large?
No, I think we covered some things. Thank you.
Well, so thanks. Much. Thanks so much for joining us, Leah Jo. And Swaps Phoenix's information will be available on our website. So please visit www.radioautonomia.wordpress.com and help defund Project Rose and help stop racist policing practices in Phoenix and support the Monica Jones campaign by visiting www.swapphoenix.org.
He sentido la espina de tus rencores, pagando así la deuda de mis amores. He sentido la espina de verte ajena a ti que me juraste ser siempre buena, a ti, mujer ingrata, pervertida mujer, a quien adoro, a ti, prenda del alma, por quien tanto he sufrido y tanto lloro, a ti, corazón. consagro toda mi existencia. La flor de la maldad y la inocencia es para ti, mujer.